Hey, it's me again. A few weeks ago when my family was on vacation, when we were near the end, we were on one of those red double-decker buses in London. Have you seen those? And a couple of teenagers who had gotten off school and climbed up to the second floor. What do you call it on a bus? The upper level, the upper deck? We were sitting up there because we wanted the full experience of, you know, feeling like we're going to crash into trees and all that. And a couple of teenagers who had just gotten out of school came up and they sat down in the seats right in front of me. And one of my kids was beside me. I can't remember which one. And they just started chatting over the day, which, you know, to be expected. And one of them opens his phone and starts going through social media. And he has so many replies to things that he had posted. And it looked like he was on Instagram. I don't know. It happened so fast. I have no idea if he had any idea what he was doing. But he must have, because he's flying through all these responses. And everyone, the first thing he does, he clicks on someone who had replied to him, and he clicks that heart first. And then he actually reads what they say and types some sort of 2 or 3 word response to it. And he went through it must have been more than a dozen. I don't know. Anyway, I'm watching that, and I think, that is meaningless. Like, he's tapping the heart. To me, if I tap a heart, that means I really love it, and it's meaningful. So I rarely use hearts, honestly. So don't be offended if you post something on my wall, and I just give it a thumbs up. That's mostly what I'm good for. But anyway, there's no way that this guy is looking at all these things and really feeling appreciated and loved by whoever's responding to him. Because that's kind of the way our phones and our social media has made us look for appreciation, like in the number of, on the badge, right? The number, the notifications. Like there has to be something more meaningful. I don't remember how many people liked or it seems trivial to me. Maybe I'm old. Yes, I am. Okay. But to appreciate someone in a more meaningful way, sometimes we have to go old school. Sometimes we have to go analog. And as we get to the letter, here's the hard transition into, hey, here's the Bible. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And it turns out Philippians as a letter is almost like a long thank you note written by hand. Anybody remember thank you notes written by hand? Okay, so about the only time I see handwritten things anymore is like weddings, graduation cards, sometimes birthday cards, but those are often just a signature, right? Usually not a note. And then thank you notes. I see a lot of thank you notes. I've seen a lot because I had a kid graduate from high school, and so he received some gifts, and you better believe mom and dad said, you are handwriting thank you notes. And please, if you received one of those, don't compare them to other people who received them. They might be worded similarly, which is totally meaningful, right? But here's the thing. A lot of times we don't do the best job of showing our appreciation. And when you get to the end of Philippians, Paul says thank you in a very meaningful way. And here's the one point application, okay? The one point application is I think you need to write a thank you note. You need to write something with your hand to a gospel partner. Someone else who is in this following Jesus, doesn't have to be far away. It could be somebody that you know that you see every day. I think you need to get out a pencil, a pen, or a marker or whatever and put it on paper and write a thank you note. Okay? That's the application today. I'm going to look at the 4 parts to Paul's thank you note. And they're pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Let me go ahead and read Philippians 4 starting at verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10, and getting to the end of the letter. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned that in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Everybody's favorite verse before you go out on the court or the field, whatever. Verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment. That's almost an economic term, paid off. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. It's almost like Paul saying, I have extra, thank you. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, which are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Another famous verse, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he ends the letter this way. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers, you might say the brothers and sisters who are with me, greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a four-part outline for a meaningful thank you note to someone else who is in this with Jesus, okay? A gospel partner. Anyone else who is committed to following Jesus becomes part of our family and a gospel partner. So four parts. Ready? If you already have paper out, you can scratch down your thank you note as you listen. But part one is thank you for, and then something specific. Thank you for, and you fill in the blank. A lot of times when we say thanks, it's kind of generalized and it's not that meaningful. But Paul was genuinely thankful for support received during his work and during his imprisonment. So he writes Philippians from prison. And in prison, there's no prison food back in the day. So he had to receive help from others to be able to survive. Otherwise, he's getting locked away with no way to stay alive. So he's thankful that they are financially supporting him. Thanks for putting food on my table, he says. But also, the Philippians had been helping him from the beginning. Whenever Paul went through the town of Philippi and preached the gospel there, and so actually, there was a woman named Lydia in Philippi who was one of the first followers of Jesus. All right. Okay. So the Philippians, they jumped on board and in their own town started sharing the gospel. And Paul in this letter says, you guys shine like stars in the night sky as you follow Jesus and talk to your neighbors about him and set the example of walking in Jesus' ways. But they believed that people outside of their city and outside of their neighborhood needed to hear about Jesus as well. So they became partners with Paul by giving him money, praying for him, and now and then sending helpers like Epaphroditus, to help him. And so Paul is saying, thank you for this help. But he doesn't want to come off as needy or whiny. You ever heard somebody say, please don't misunderstand me, it's bad enough to be understood? You ever heard that? I think Paul is doing that here because he's saying thanks, but he's like, at last. And the way he says it, it almost sounds like he's being whiny. I'm thankful that at last you revived your concern for me. Thanks for waking up and thinking about me. It was the way we could read that, but that's not what Paul's saying at all. He's saying you were thinking about me, but you just didn't have opportunity. As we read through the New Testament and Paul's other letters, it seems like the Macedonians, which is the region, we might say like North Texas, where the city of Burleson is located, right? So Philippi was in the region of Macedonia, and we pick up from one of Paul's other letters that they were a particularly poor church. And so it might be that they didn't have anything to give, but when they did, they finally saw an opportunity. Or maybe they didn't have someone to take the gift to Paul. There were no overnight guarantees. There were no parcel services. Anybody remember what a parcel is? So Paul is saying, you didn't have an opportunity. I know you wanted to. I know you've been praying, but finally you had the opportunity and you did it. But also he doesn't want to sound needy. He says, not that I'm thanking you so that you'd give me more. I'm not saying thanks for finally giving me a meal and I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, I don't want you to hear like I'm asking for more. And I don't want you to hear me like I'm whining. I want you to genuinely hear, this is good. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So when you write a thank you note to somebody, Okay, everybody's going to do it, right? Yes. I love that. When you write a thank you note to a gospel partner, don't say something with a hook in it, where it's like, thank you for making me feel dumb. Or, you know, we do things like that all the time, where we say thank you in a sarcastic way. But thank people for something specific and genuine, okay? And if you can't come up with it, think about it for a while before you put the marker to paper. All right, so part one is thank you for something specific. Part two is good job practicing the ways of Jesus. The Philippians had used their time and their money to help spread the gospel. So Paul is saying, you're actually following in the ways of Jesus. At home, they're an outpost for the gospel where let me remind you what the gospel is, okay? So in love, God the Father, this is John 3:16, God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only son. So God the Father in love sent the Son, and the Son willingly took on flesh. Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. And he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and he'll take it up again. So God the Father in love sends the Son who willingly takes on flesh, and Jesus comes to fulfill where the story of the Bible has been leading all along. And during his life, he taught and modeled how to live. But he also did some things that we couldn't do for ourselves. He died for our sins, as Scripture had anticipated. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead, as Scripture had anticipated and as he himself had predicted. And after he rose from the dead, he appeared to a bunch of witnesses, ascended into heaven, and sat down on the throne, and poured out the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you noticed, but when I prayed, and I'm sure the parents as well will pray that their kids who were just baptized will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we get the same presence of God that empowered Jesus. Did you know that? The book of Acts talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out on the disciples so that they could walk in the ways of Jesus. So we turn back to Jesus' teaching and examples, and we want to do what he did in the power that empowered him. So the Holy Spirit's poured out on us so that we can follow in his ways, and it makes us a family empowered by the Spirit to follow in the ways of Jesus, and we become kind of like an outpost of heaven, where a little bit of heaven is we try to model it here on earth. We try to live in his ways. We don't do it perfectly, always adjusting, always repenting, always welcoming new people in. Anyone loyal to Jesus, you belong among us. And the only step that's left of the gospel is we're waiting for his return. So Paul says, you guys, you Philippians, you're following in the ways of Jesus. You are living in that story. At home, you're an outpost for the gospel, and you're a hospital for broken, sick, sinful people coming who are just as broken and as sick as you are, and yet the goodness of God is available among you. But also far away, they're sending their gifts and their prayers and their helpers to help Paul. So they're using their time and their money to help spread the gospel. So Paul says, good job. And in verse 18, he says, you're serving in this way. It's like an Old Testament offering. It's a pleasing aroma. It's a sacrifice to God. He's saying God is pleased with this. Church, whenever you devote an afternoon to preparing food and serving the hungry, like a good number of us did yesterday at Southside, a good number of you, I was not there, that is carrying on the ways of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, and it's worship to God. It's a fragrant offering to him. When you give your time and your money to this church, or to any organization that draws people from the nations and from the neighborhood into Jesus' family, that's worship. Giving is worship. It's a pleasing aroma. And so Paul is saying, Philippians, you should know God is pleased. You might not feel it. You might not think that it matters, but Paul is telling you, through his letter to the Philippians, God is pleased when you give, when you serve, when you offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name to anyone who's thirsty. And then in verse 19, the giving and receiving that Paul and the Philippians, this gospel partnership that they've done, it includes God's care. Similar to what Jesus said, There's a time where Jesus is talking about his disciples have to be willing to leave everything, and Peter pipes up and says, Peter pipes up. That's kind of fun to say. You can use that. Peter pipes up and says, see, we've left our homes and followed you. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Or another place Jesus says to, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're wearing, but instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. So Paul is saying very much what Jesus had already taught. He's saying when you devote yourself to following Jesus, you can count on God to look out for you. A lot of times that's going to be through God's people as well. So if you notice somebody who is serving God and approaching the end of resources, you might need to keep these verses in mind and say, God, do I need to be the answer to one of your promises for my sister, for my brother in Christ? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you is what Jesus said. And Paul is saying right here, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So that's part two of your thank you note. So we've got thank you for something specific. We've got good job following in the ways of Jesus. The third part, Paul says, glory be to God in verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. This is the big picture. We all need help seeing that God knows us and that our efforts matter. In fact, anywhere you go, anywhere you work, anytime you're part of an organization, you want to know, do people really know me? And do I really matter? Like if you work for a school, you work for a small business, you work for a huge corporation, you want to know, does the person telling me what to do, my boss, does my boss even know anything about me? Or does my boss just care that I'm getting stuff done and I'm replaceable, right? You don't think about this? I'm telling you, you'll be a lot happier if your boss knows and cares about you. Right? But you also want to know that the stuff you're doing matters. And in the big picture, Paul is saying, God knows you, and the things you're doing matter. I remember one time where I had put the effort into separating trash from recyclables, and I can't remember where it was, but the image stuck with me where I was doing my effort. You know, I was kind of slow to come around to the idea of recycling, and I was like, okay, these things have grease on them. These things are recyclable, the cans, the whatever, the paper. And then I watch the collection people dump them into the same bin, and I'm like, my effort doesn't matter. Why? We want to know that our effort matters, that it's making a difference. And here Paul is saying this ultimately, your what might feel like not something that important is important to me, so thank you, and it's important to the big picture. It's important to the gospel, and it's important to God. Now, Jesus, adults, can I talk to you for a second? Please, may I have permission to talk to you for a second? Thank you. Jesus said there's a way to practice righteousness and what is good just to be seen by others or to get those likes. Posting our pictures while we do good things so that people will appreciate us, whatever. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before others, because if you do, that is your reward, and that's all you get. Amen. Right? But Paul is thanking specific people in front of a church. He's writing a letter and thanking people for doing what is good and doing what is righteous. And he's not disobeying what Jesus taught. This is important. The disciples, they're a new family, and gratitude toward one another and praise for God doesn't happen if we are unaware and we're always anonymous. This might rub some of you the wrong way, but when Jesus said, don't practice your righteousness, don't pray in front of others in order to be seen, don't fast in order to make a show, he's not saying nobody can ever know. He's saying, don't let that motivate you. Does that make sense? You hear the difference? If you're driven, if the reward you really need in life, adults, is for other people to pat you on the back and say, you know what? We should all be like you. Then that's a reward. Do it, and that's your reward. But if you want God to reward you, then you can't be concerned about human reactions. You can't be, you shouldn't be driven by human reactions. But that doesn't mean other humans can't know that you're doing something good. Otherwise, your good example will be lost, right? And Paul says we're supposed to model for others the ways of Jesus. In fact, Paul actually says in one of his other letters, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And here in Philippians, multiple times he said, we need to model for others and keep an eye on those who follow in the ways of Jesus and imitate their behavior. So if you are following in the ways of Jesus, you don't have to be perfect, but you don't need to always hide it and be secretive. It's okay. As long as you're not sounding a trumpet so that we'll you know, put up a plaque in your honor or whatever, then you're good. Just don't do it for the likes. Do it for the Lord. Okay. So the four parts to a thank you note. I've got thank you for something specific. I've got good job following in the ways of Jesus. I've got glory be to God, the big picture. And the fourth part is greet every follower of Jesus, where Paul says that at the end. Greet every follower of Jesus. See, the gospel creates disciples who follow Jesus, and the disciples are a new family. But sometimes we have to learn to like one another. If this doesn't make sense to you, just hang out in the room with all of us who are here, and you can find someone that you instinctively don't like. I promise. Not everyone in this room is going to be your cup of tea. And that's just this room. Statistically, there are hundreds of millions, maybe even over a billion people who claim the name of Jesus around the world. Some of them you're not going to like. So when Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, he's doing something intentional. The family has to welcome all the members of the family. If that doesn't make sense to you, let me tell you a little story. A few years ago, a fella that I now call Mr. Jim rolled into Aylesbury. Anybody know Mr. Jim? Okay. So Mr. Jim was wondering what God had planned for him in his 90s. In his 90s. And he found what God had planned for him sitting by the brick column out here. Right? Have you had Mr. Jim greet you? Okay, let me tell you, a little over a week ago, I had a conversation with Mr. Jim, and as I was leaving, he said, tell everyone I love them. And I said, do you have anyone in particular in mind? And he said, anyone who will listen, tell them I love them. Now, have you ever seen Mr. Jim sitting by the bricks when the Forever Friends leave? Have you seen the way he greets them? Now, some of them light up like they only do at Night to Shine, right? Night to Shine, you get some of the coolest photos where the Forever Friends, they're walking down the red carpet, and it's the coolest thing, right? They light up in a way. I asked Mr. Jim, what is it? What is it you're doing? And he said, I realize that I get to show these people that they matter. And he's sitting there on his walker, hunched over, but he'll stand up for you to give you a hug, right? So if I realized, as Mr. Jim said, tell anyone who'll listen that I love them. It's like, I can't do it my way, because my way, you might not know that Mr. Jim loves you. My way might say, hey, Mr. Jim says he loves you. That's not the way Mr. Jim would do it. So when Paul, think about it this way. When Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, it's at least as much as Mr. Jim would. And he says, greet not the ones that you like in Christ Jesus. Greet your preferred crowd. Greet your crew, your little clique. Greet your private Christian club. No, he's saying greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And it has to be at least as good as Mr. Jim would. So So maybe if you're not going to write a note, you could at least greet one another as well as Mr. Jim would, okay? And you could say it to anyone who'll listen, Mr. Jim loves you, and Jesus loves you. Yeah? Okay. Kids, you with me? Kind of? I'm done. We pray and we'll be done? Let me remind you of the four things, and then I'll actually be done. Thank you for something specific. Good job following the ways of Jesus. Glory to God. Let me help you see the big picture, because we lose it all the time, and we always feel like we don't matter and we're not known. So, Christians, we should be good at helping people see the big picture. And then fourth, greet every follower of Jesus. Like, make people feel like they're welcome and they belong. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for some notes, some hugs, some words of encouragement that have sustained me when I thought it didn't matter, when I thought nothing I did matter and I was just disappearing and it wouldn't matter if I were gone. Lord, all of us have been there. All of us have believed at some point or another that we didn't matter, that our contribution, our service, our efforts, our gifts were not important. Lord, sometimes it's been your saints who have given us the impression that our efforts were not important and our gifts were insignificant. God, I've been on the receiving end, and no doubt I've been on the giving end of that. I confess that was wrong. It did not line up with the ways of Jesus. Lord, even if we don't say it in words, sometimes we give that impression on by how we act toward one another. Our impatience with one another. Our unkind words. Lord, we want to follow you and we want to include the people that you include. We want to welcome the people you welcome. We want your family to actually function like you. Holy Spirit, please come empower us to follow in the ways of Jesus. Empower us to be able to talk about Jesus. Empower us to be able to pray like Jesus. Empower us to be able to serve like Jesus and to love like Jesus. Or at least like Mr. Jim. Lord, make us an outpost where the gospel goes to the neighborhood from us. But make us a hospital as well, where the hurting and the broken and the tired and the outcast can find home and healing among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.